Yeah. Welcome to the Vine Church this morning. That is a way to kick it off. There we go. Well, in case you missed the welcome and you're joining us online right now at the start of the service, my name is Alex Hanvey, and I am so thankful to be part of the pastoral leadership team here at the Vine, and thankful and humbled and appreciative of the opportunity to kick off or will continue the series that we just kicked off called What Does the Bible Say About? And answer a somewhat challenging question today, somewhat a touchy question. But before I give you the question, I just want to thank you for being here. If you're in the house or if you're watching online, even if you're watching later in the week, thank you so much for joining us and setting aside some time to allow God to speak into your life. And I pray today that God uses me to do just that. Because we're not going to look at what Alex necessarily thinks about this particular question or what Alex thinks the Bible says, but we're going to look at God's Word. And we're going to look at what the Bible actually says and teaches towards this. But I am thankful again for this opportunity to be here. Oh, and also, by the way, I just wanted to say again, in case you did miss the welcome, join us next weekend, Saturday, September the 1st, for Vine Worship as they will lead the worship time, but we will be with and partnering with LifeSpring Church. I'm sorry, not next Saturday, or September 21st. September 21st, sorry, you know, left off the 20 there. But September the 21st, join us at LifeSpring Church in Bowling Springs for Hope Tour for an awesome time of worship. We would love to have you there with us. And you also have some service opportunities that morning. If you want to know more, go to lifespringsc.org/servant-saturday. And you can find all the details there for the service projects throughout the community. But I'm excited as we continue this series. And today we answer the question, is tithing required or optional? That's what most of the responses usually are, right? And so is tithing required or is it optional? You know, it may be a better way to present that question, to tithe or not to tithe. That is the question. And so as we get ready to dive into this and come to a conclusion or to come to some sort of consensus and answer to that today, I want us to use God's Word to help us get there, to be our guide to the decision that we make individually as well, presented with the evidence from God's Word of what we believe when it comes to is tithing required or optional. But a lot of people and a lot of Christians debate this specific topic. And what I want you to understand before we even jump into this, if you don't think tithing is required, you can still be a Christian. If you think tithing is required, you can still be a Christian. But the thing is, it's one or the other. It's required or it's optional. But we're going to get to that here in just a moment. And a lot of people push back on tithing because of the abuse that we have seen and the misstewarding that we have seen in local churches with finances. And so people think that tithing is just a way for the money to or for the church or for the local churches to take money from people and to be wealthy. And so a lot of people are hesitant and resistant against giving. And especially people who have been affected by those who teach that, hey, if you will give every penny in your bank account, God will bless you with so much more. And maybe you're struggling today financially and you think that what do I have to do to build my bank account? Well, I am not the pastor that's going to tell you to empty that bank account so that God will fill it back up. But if God instructs you to walk in obedience, I'm going to tell you to trust Him in that. But I am not going to tell you that He says to give all of your bank account so that you can be blessed, because we're not trying to build our bank account. And that is one reason I love our churches, because you can go look at our annual report every single year and you can see where every dollar and penny has gone, that God has blessed our church to steward and how it has been sown back into His ministry and His church around the world. So transparency is key when it comes to churches, the local church, stewarding the money and the finances that people give through tithes as well as through offering. And so before we come to that decision, let's see what God's word has to say about this. And one of the things when you're doing research, when you're trying to understand a topic, a subject, you have to ask questions. Otherwise, if you know it all, then, you know it all, right? But to understand something as good as you possibly can, you have to ask questions. And so the first question that we come to and that we're going to ask today on this journey is, what is tithing? What is the tithe? Where does it come from? And so as we ask that question, the word tithe is actually a Hebrew word that simply just means a tenth. A tenth. And so this is why it is a tradition within churches, especially here in America or anywhere around the world, when you hear them talk about give 10%. That's where it comes from, because tithe literally means a tenth. And so today we often think that this is just pertaining to money, our income that we get from a job. But this actually is so much more than just money. But it's a tenth of everything, and we'll see that here in some of these verses that we're going to look at in the scripture as well. But tithing is mentioned both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can find it in the Old Testament where it is basically established, where it becomes part of the law for the Israelites. You can see the references and the instructions on how the people of Israel are to tithe. And then in the New Testament, you see mention and reference of it from Jesus himself, as well as throughout the other New Testament books. But for the people of Israel, as we're trying to understand tithing, it was part of their law, the Mosaic law, the law that was put in place to govern the people of Israel. And if we go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, we're actually going to be able to see where it is introduced into the law here. And it says the instruction, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the sea or from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And it goes on throughout that next verse and even talks about and references the animals of their herds and of their flocks. So you see, tithing is not just about the money that's in your pocket, right? The things that you use monetarily to exchange for goods. But it's also in reference to the Israelites in this time in Leviticus. It's everything that they have. The produce that grows from the ground, as well as the animals that are part of their herd. So it's more than just money. So the next question we ask is, why does the tithe exist? What was the purpose and use of it? And so if we continue reading and we look to God's word, something else we can ask is, does God need our money? Was God running low on his bank account and he was like, you know what? I know exactly how I can build it up. I'm going to get all the people to give me their money so that I can be rich. No, absolutely not. So the tithe does not exist because God is dependent on us to fill his bank account or to make sure that he has enough to support himself. Because if we look at Psalm 50, verses 9 through 12, this is what the Bible tells us. This is God speaking himself. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills, I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. So first and foremost, when you hear people, and this is often in mocking the tithe, God does not need our money. And the tithe is not so that God can take things from us. But what we actually learn through Scripture, and we'll see here in just a moment, is that the tithe was put into place to support the Levitical priests for Israel. It was put into place to be able to maintain the temple. And it was put into place to be able to support and provide for the poor among the people of Israel. And there are so many other references that we have here in Scripture. And we can turn here, if you're following with me, to Numbers 18. And we'll look at what it says here in reference to the tithe. Let me flip there real quick. Numbers 18, verse 21 says this in regard to the tithe. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. And so basically for this, as Israel would give their tithe, this was how the Levites were paid. This is how God blessed them and took care of them as well. And then if we look here, let's go to Deuteronomy. If you just flip to the right a little bit here, Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 says this about the tithe as well. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. Now don't miss this. So that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. So this is important to understand when it comes to why does the tithe exist. So we see that tithing was something that was commanded to Israel through the law that was governing the Israelites. And then if we look here, we'll go, these are the popular verses, probably the two most popular that when it comes to tithing that is referenced. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says this, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. Because the people of Israel were not giving the tithe that God had instructed. And then he goes on in verse 10 and it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now this is where a lot of people try to say, see, God is just trying to gain for himself. But that is not the case. Because God goes on and he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Trust God in whatever it is he calls you to give. If God called you to give a dollar today, would you do it in obedience? Would you do it trusting that God will provide for what you have given? Because a lot of times, this is where we have to be careful. The church and false teachers and preachers will abuse this verse to say, give everything you have so that God will open the floodgates. You might give $1,000. What if God doesn't give you $1,000 back? But what if the way that God blesses that $1,000 is he multiplies it into $1,000,000 for other people to be a blessing that draws them somehow to himself? Are you okay with that? Because the money and the income, whatever it is that God calls us to give, can we do it in obedience, knowing that, hey, I'm not giving this to get something back. I am giving this in obedience to what God has called me to do. And the people of Israel were not doing this at the time. So let's take just a moment and recap what we know so far. We know what tithing is. It was giving a tenth of what you have. And today, this is most reflected as income for us. We know where it came from. In reference to the verses and the passages we've looked at, that it was a part of the law that was governing the people of Israel. And we know what it is used for, to support the priest, to maintain the temple, and to support and be a resource for the poor. So the third total question that we're going to ask here is, does tithing actually benefit us? Is tithing a benefit for us? And I would say easily and simply, yes. But maybe not in the ways that you think. Because tithing is not just so that I can give something to receive something. But tithing is a way of obedience. But one of the greatest ways that tithing benefits us is it breaks the dependency that we have on our money. Because if you can turn around and give to God 10% without even questioning or worrying about that 10%, it helps you to not look at your money as your source, but rather you look to God as your source. You walk in obedience, you give in obedience, and you trust that He will provide no matter what. No matter the circumstances, God is our provider. And in the Bible we see, and it tells us we cannot serve two masters. And so money is one of those things that will pull you away from God the fastest. And the moment that you think I can't tithe because I have to pay these bills, or I can't tithe because I have to make sure I have enough for groceries, or I can't tithe because I don't ever want to let my bank account get below a certain number. You are looking to that number, that money, to be your source and your provider and not God. And so when we can say, okay, God, I have it, so I'm going to give it. And we trust Him that He will provide through that. It allows us to lean into Him and to step away and separate ourselves from a dependency on our money. Because we have to be careful. And the Bible tells us as well that it's the root of all evil is the love of money. Not the possession of money. The money, the things are great. And God uses those to bless us. But when we love money more than we love our God, then we begin to walk away from God into the evil things of this world. We cannot be dependent on money. And tithing also allows us to grow in our faith to be generous to others. Because if you sit there and you wrestle with giving 10% of a paycheck to God, then you're going to think at the same time when someone comes to you with a need that you don't have enough to be able to help them. That you don't have enough to do anything to be of service to them. So tithing in obedience and giving to God allows us to grow in our faith to be generous to others. And another way that it helps us is the church. When we give our tithe, the church does obviously receive that. So like right here at the Vine Church, when you tithe to the Vine Church does receive it. And we have it and we steward that. But when you give in obedience and the church stewards in obedience, it can be used to bless other people and to reach other people all around the world. And so when the church stewards well what you give in obedience, it can be used to bless other people. So if we stop for a moment and recap here, there are practical ways in which tithing is a benefit to us, not just individually, but us as a whole, us as a community, and us as a global church. Because it benefits us by allowing us to break a dependency and a need for money and to lean into God. It benefits us as the church that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and allows us as the body of Christ to serve those who are in need. So then we come to the fourth question that I present on this journey. So are we required to tithe? As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, are we required to tithe? So we've seen the evidence from some of the references of Scripture. Now let me give you an argument from either side so that you can use this as context. So here's an argument against tithing that is often used when people say that tithing is not something we are required to do. And one main argument is this, is that Jesus fulfilled the law. And so therefore, because tithing was part of the law, the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, and it was tied into that, is that tithing is no longer required by us as Christians because Jesus fulfilled it all and we no longer live under the law. Or rather, we live by the command of Jesus to love God and love others. And by doing those two things, we fulfill the entire law. Which is true. Yes, Jesus did fulfill the law. And so therefore, we are no longer under the law as having a requirement or a restriction to follow the things of the law. And also people will say, well, that in the New Testament, Jesus mentions tithing, or he references tithing, but he never says that you have to give an exact amount. And they'll also say that when Jesus talks about tithing, if you look at those passages, he's talking to the Pharisees, or he's talking to people in Israel. He's talking to the Jewish community, those who followed that law, those who were still under that law at the time while Jesus was still doing ministry. And so they'll say when he was talking to them about tithing, it was still applicable to the law at that time. And that's what they'll use as an argument against. And they'll say that there is no explicit expectation or instruction given in the New Testament that says you as a follower of Jesus Christ should give 10% or give a tithe of a particular amount. That's the argument against tithing that people will use. Now let me give you an argument for tithing. While it is correct, Jesus did fulfill the law. And he gave the instruction and the command to love God and love others. And by doing so, we fulfill the entire law. By loving God, we serve and worship him wholly and only. By loving others, we care for others. We respect others. We reflect Christ to others. And we do not live under the law. But we live under and by Christ Jesus. But the reason that that does not particularly apply to tithing is because even though we read in Leviticus where tithing is introduced into the law, tithing existed before the law. If you have your Bibles and you want to flip, you can go to Genesis 14. And we're going to see one of the very first instances of where tithing is mentioned years before the law came to be. So in Genesis 14, verse 20, this is what it says. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram, who is that to become Abraham, gave him a tenth of everything. And so before the law came to be, the tithe and the practice of the tithe was already introduced. It was already something that Abraham practiced himself. And if you want to know more about this whole instance right here, I'm going to read a few verses for you. But if you want to know more about this, this is a really interesting and awesome thing to study on when Abram comes in to encounter this person, this king named Melchizedek, as he is returning after a battle that God has allowed him to win. So in verse 17 of Genesis 14, it says, after Abram returned from defeating this king with a K name, and the kings allied with him, and the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. I'm just going to give you these little nuggets. Melchizedek means king of righteousness or righteous king. He is the king of a place called Salem. Salem means peace, king of peace. Who else do we know in all of Scripture and all of history who is the king of righteousness and the king of peace? And who do we give our tithe to? And what's interesting is Salem is the place in which would become Jerusalem in the future. And it's interesting because it says that Melchizedek is a priest of God Most High. But Melchizedek was not part the Israelite family or community. So people often wonder, who is Melchizedek? And he is a shadow or a typecast or a pointing of Jesus, the righteous king, the king of peace, our king, and the true high priest or king and priest, royal priest. And so in this, we see that Abraham is tithing before it is ever introduced as part of the law. And there's one more reference as well for those who say, well, that was just one instance of it. But if we keep going in Genesis chapter 28, we're going to see another instance right here in verse 22 with Jacob and God. And it goes on and it says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. You see, this practice of tithing, of giving a tenth of what we have to God, was pre-existing to the Levitical law, to the Mosaic law. So even though, yes, Jesus fulfilled that law, tithing or the practice of tithing is something that existed prior. And another example of this would be when people argue against, well, Jesus fulfilled the law, so anything of the law we can just throw out and not worry about. Let me give you an example. As part of the law to the Israelites, they were instructed to follow the Sabbath. But just because Jesus fulfilled the law, did the Israelites, were they instructed, did Jesus say that you should no longer obey or follow a Sabbath? No. The Sabbath existed from creation when God established it himself. So just because the law was fulfilled, something in which that existed prior to the law, doesn't mean that it's not still a benefit and something that we as Christians today can practice and receive blessing from. And I can't remember, Tyler was talking to me about this before the service. I know I'll probably mess it up. But it was really awesome from a Devo that he was showing me how in relation to tithing, how tithing is sort of to our finances, right, to our money, as the Sabbath is to our time. Just because it was part of the law and Jesus fulfilled it doesn't mean we don't still receive a blessing from following that particular practice. It just means that we're not required in the way of the law to uphold it as such. So the answer that we come to today and the conclusion that I want to leave you with for your thought, I can't force you to believe that tithing is required or that it is optional or that it's the opposite. But maybe the question that we should be asking, instead of are we required to tithe, maybe what we should be asking is it good for us to tithe? And I believe from everything that we see in Scripture that it is good, beneficial, and it is a blessing for us to tithe. But here's the catch. Before I even get to that, most of the time when we ask the question that we began with, is tithing required or optional? If we're honest, we're looking for an out. Because we want someone to say, no, tithing is not required, so therefore you don't have to tithe. Therefore you don't have to feel bad about it if you don't. But let me ask you this, why would you not tithe? Is it because you want to build up your bank account? Because you're afraid to give away a portion of what God has given to you? Are you afraid to give back to God what is His in the first place? Is it because you have fear that He will not bless you in return? So instead of looking for an out, maybe we should look at ourselves and say, okay, here's an opportunity for me to do something that is biblical that God has blessed others for doing, let me walk and step in obedience to follow this. So no, we are not required by a law to tithe as followers of Jesus Christ. But it is an established biblical principle and practice that we see clearly in Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament that is not discouraged, but is encouraged for us as Christians today to follow. Now, on the flip side of that, we talked about tithing being a tenth. Here's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to and don't look at. In the Old Testament, the instructions for tithing and giving, it extended beyond a tenth after they were done with all the instruction of giving and obedience that God called them to tithe from and to give from. And so what if God told you instead of 10%, when you were wondering, what do I write this check for? How much money do I put in the bucket? What if God told you, clear as day, put on your heart, 12%, 15%, 20%. Would you walk in obedience and say, I will give what you tell me to give? I will trust that you will provide, because that is really the root of the question, is do we trust God with what He has called us to do? Whether that's 5%, whether that's 10%, or whether that is 100%. Will we trust God when He calls us? Will we pick up the phone and answer God when He calls us? But really and truly, in obedience, can you listen for God to guide you? And can you trust Him with where He leads you? So no matter where you land on this issue of is tithing required or not, will you just trust God in obedience with what He calls you to give back, knowing that He is your source and your provider in the first place? So no matter what, God will return to you in some way, somehow, even if it's not financially. You know what? You might give $100 that you were going to use on groceries. Maybe God doesn't give you $100 back. But maybe somebody rings your doorbell and there's groceries sitting at your doorstep. Trust me, I have heard stories and testimonies of people who have received far greater things than just that. And God can do it. And God will do it. It just takes a step of obedience and faith on our part. Because you see, even though God calls us to give just a measly 10% of 100%, sometimes we lose perspective of that. We still have 90% left over after just giving 10%. You see, we are called to give this much, but God gave us the greatest gift of all in His Son, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't just live on this earth and give a measly 10%, but rather He gave 100% of Himself for us. So that even though we could not fulfill all the law that was required for the Israelites in the Old Testament, and we would never be able to live up to those standards today. Let's be honest, we can't even live up to the two commands of loving God and loving others sometimes. We needed Him. And so therefore, He gave everything to live the perfect life that you and I cannot. He died the death that you and I deserved on the cross. Then He rose in victory over sin and death. Something we could not defeat. Something we had no chance of being victorious over. But He did it. He paid the price. And guess what? He allows us and extends to us the opportunity by His grace, by His mercy, by His love, and His sacrifice that we get to be victorious over those things. Because of His blood that now covers us, because of His victory, we can live victorious by believing in Him, by surrendering to Him and putting our faith in Him today. So if you're listening in this house or you're watching online and you know that you have never surrendered everything that you have to Jesus, you have never laid down your life to live in obedience and faith that He is Lord and Savior. He is who He says He is, and He has given everything for you. If you have never done that and surrendered to Him, I am going to give you an opportunity to do that now. But I want you to understand, we're going to pray together here in just a moment. The words of this prayer are not special or magical. There is nothing that this prayer itself does to save you. It's the faith in your heart and the belief that Jesus is who He says He is. And I pray that God has opened ears to hear His voice, opened eyes to see His goodness, and opened hearts to receive and believe Christ today if you have not done this before. So if you would, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are wanting to surrender not just 10% of yourself, but 100% of yourself to Jesus today, you feel that God is calling you and pulling you, I ask you and encourage you to pray this prayer wholeheartedly to Jesus right now, today. And we're all going to pray out loud together for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time and professing that Jesus is Lord of our life. So if that is you and you want to surrender to Christ today, pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to follow You. You live the perfect life. You died the death that I deserve. And You rose in victory over sin and death. Teach me to follow You the best way I know how for the rest of my life. And if you are listening online or you're in the house and you prayed that prayer for the first time, fully and wholly surrendering to the Lord, I want you to respond here in just a moment. I'm going to count to three. If you're in the house, just lift your hand up. If you're watching online, I want you to leave a comment, or you'll see a pop-up on your screen, possibly, depending on where you're watching. Leave us a message, leave us a comment, or you can send us an email at hello@thevine.tv and just said, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior, and I surrender to Him today. Because we want to encourage you, we want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you understand what it means to live a life in obedience following Christ as your Savior. So if that's you, respond in one of those ways when I count to three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, raise your hand. If you're watching online, send us an email, leave us a comment, leave a message on Facebook, however you can get in touch with us, because we want to celebrate and we want to encourage you and help you. Lord Jesus, I thank You again for this day and this opportunity we've had to come together, to be in Your presence, to be in Your house. I pray, Lord, as we are preparing to close the service in worship, Lord, I pray that You will still be with us through this time as we lift our voices. Lord, I pray for every person who may have surrendered to You in this moment, Lord. They have laid their life down, that You, Lord, will take it up. They have laid their life down, Lord, for You at Your feet, believing that You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, I pray in this moment, draw us near to You. Open ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive and believe. Amen. If you're in the house, you can go ahead and stand with us. Look up, and we're going to have this time of worship together.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Today has been an awesome time and an awesome service gathering together. We talked about it a little bit in the message, how we have the Sabbath to help us, and we have tithing to help us, and I believe a great way to look at it is, if we do not follow the Sabbath which God has given us, we will not steward our time well. And in the same way, if we do not follow the practice of tithing, we will not steward our finances well. God has given us these tools and these plans and patterns for us to live in obedience so that He can do greater things than we ever could on our own. So may we give our time, our talents, and our treasure to God and trust and know that He will do far greater things than we could ever ask or imagine. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're in the house, if you're watching online, we have a seat ready for you next Sunday. Come back as we continue What Does the Bible Say About. But we hope you have a great week. God bless, and we'll see you again on Sunday.